started and grown several multi-million dollar businesses. His mission is to help you do the same. Welcome to the Business Growth Pod, building the future one entrepreneur at a time.
If you just write down your goal and read it out loud, you're going to jump from 0 to 90% of people, because I'm guarantee you 90% of people are not doing this. And the reason most people don't get what they want in life, I'm going to tell you the secret to this right now. The reason people do not get what they want in life is because they do not know what they want. And you don't know until you take the time to sit down and think about it, to really write it down and really tell the world, tell the universe, tell yourself what you want. So clarity, another thing you can really, if you're taking notes, you could write down, clarity leads to power.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Alan. I'm a family man, an attorney, and an entrepreneur. Each week, we provide resources and advice to help build your business. Are you ready? Then let's go. Before I introduce today's guest, I wanted to welcome you to episode 1 of season 2. We have rebranded and we are ready to take it up a notch. This season is designed especially for you if you fall into any of these categories. 1, you want to start a business. 2, you want to stop working for your business and start working on it. And 3, you want to see what your business looks like when you give it a little rocket fuel. It doesn't matter what industry you are in, this podcast is for you. Now to the good stuff. My guest today has been a successful entrepreneur for 25 years. His biggest goal was to work for himself so that he could have the freedom to follow his passions. So in 1996, he fired his boss and started working as a builder and real estate investor. My guest today is Brian Corr. Hey, welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What did I miss in that intro that our listeners would benefit from hearing about your life, your career, things like that?
Yeah, sure. So growing up, you know, my dad was a long-haul truck driver. My mom was a nurse. They both probably didn't make a lot of money combined. And I basically had an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, I didn't realize it until I got to Arizona. I'm from Montana originally. But when I got down here, I went to school for a little while. I did get an associate's degree in drafting, but I never did anything with it. And I came across a guy that was doing real estate investing and he was doing foreclosures. And basically, I said, what's a foreclosure? And once I learned what that world was, I wanted to know more about it. And I was already working for a construction company. So they kind of tied together. But the bottom line was that I realized quickly I did not want to do a 9-to-5. I didn't want to work for somebody else, right? Basically, I was 22 years old and I was doing all the work for this construction company. In other words, I was finding the work, managing the job, collecting the money. And it didn't take me long to start asking for more incentives and bonuses. And after a while, one day my boss said, you know, I could pay a superintendent, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year. Why would I keep giving you more money? And that's when the light bulb went off and I just said, I've got to do this on my own. So I took the plunge and borrowed $5,000 off my credit card and just decided I'm going to be my own boss and fired him basically and decided I was going to go for it. So from there, you know, I set goals and I set goals to be a millionaire at a young age. And I hit that goal by 29. And then I hit a goal to make $1 million in 1 year. And all along I was, you know, building my family and building my business and just really working on myself a lot. So there's so much packed into that. I mean, we can unpack a lot of that, but basically I've always been one to just take action and inspire others to take action and, you know, do what you love and work for yourself, because the most important thing to me is really just time freedom.
That's awesome. And I love that. I love that phrase that you fired your boss, right? Like,
yeah.
I actually, I'm involved in this entrepreneurial Facebook group. I'm an administrator of it. And I posed a question today about what people's intentions were when they, you know, went out on their own, they started their businesses or whatever. And I was surprised about 90% of the responses said something about their boss, something about how they weren't being paid enough, they weren't valued enough, they weren't challenged, they didn't enjoy the work, something about. And so I think that's interesting that you kind of saw that opportunity and you just kind of grabbed it. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are built for security. You know, our education system is designed to teach people to get a, you know, go to school and get a good job. And that's really an old paradigm and it shifted a lot. You know, 25 years ago, it was even harder and more against the grain. Today, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit is more alive with social media. podcasts, webinars. You know, there's so many things going on where people are inspired to do things on their own. You know, when it comes to YouTube and being able to really just pick up a phone and have a presence on the internet in front of literally millions of people, there's so much more opportunities. But back in the day when you were starting your own business, it was a lot scarier. I always felt like I was going against the grain, and people didn't really promote or support entrepreneurs, and they didn't really support the idea of going out on your own or firing your boss at a young age. So over the last 20 years, that's changed a lot, and that's been exciting for me and exciting to see other people have that opportunity and just share my story with them and encourage them. And I've encouraged a lot of people to quit their job and start their own business if they were up for it.
Yeah, it's funny because there's just in society, there's this perception that there's so much risk involved in starting a business. And I remember I used to be an attorney. Technically I still am, but I don't practice law anymore. And I was working for a fairly large firm downtown. And when I decided to start a business, I remember especially my law school classmates, because I kind of went through hell with them, but they just couldn't believe it. They're like, "What are you doing? That's like so risky." And I didn't say it, but in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what's risky? Is working for somebody else for 30 years and realizing that that wasn't my calling in life.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Risk, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, well, I always say I didn't want somebody to control my time. I didn't want them to tell me when to be to work, when to go to lunch, when to go to the bathroom, when to go on vacation. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a job and a career like that, for sure. We need people in those positions. And then we need risk takers out there starting businesses and trying new things. It's not for the faint of heart, right? I mean, it's definitely a roller coaster. Being an entrepreneur, being a business owner is very gratifying. And there's a lot of positives. But, you know, there's no doubt that there's some lonely times, as, you know, being an entrepreneur. So it really takes the right mindset. You know, the good thing is you can start it, you know, nowadays, especially, you can really start something on the side and grow into it. So that's what I encourage people to do.
Yeah. And 2020 has been kind of a crazy year. And we've got 2021 right around the corner. And so there's a couple of things that I kind of wanted us to focus our discussion on today, Brian. And one of those is, and I don't know about everybody else, but I feel like a lot of my listeners are thinking, you know what? I need a fresh start in 2021 in a lot of different ways, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's one of the greatest things about life is that you can screw stuff up pretty bad, but there's always another day. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about starting over and, you know, this opportunity that we have to set goals and kind of start a new year fresh. And I think everybody needs that right now with the way the political environment and with COVID and everything. What are some things that you've been able to do throughout your career, especially as an entrepreneur, when you've gotten to the point where you're like, man, I need to make a change. I need to mix some things up. I need to step it up. I need to do better. What are some things that you've found have worked for you?
Yeah, great question. And you're right about starting, you know, a great time for a fresh start, right? Yeah, 2020 has been a curveball and some really crazy times in the world. So it's December and people are winding down for Christmas. And then I think people are really going to, it's a great time to write your goals and to really set your mindset towards what you really want. You know, I want to jump into some goal stuff that I want to share with you guys. But before I do that, just to answer your question a little bit differently, you talked a little bit about when you're down and you need a fresh start. You know, more than anything, probably the best advice I could give anybody is to work on yourself. And I've always been a big proponent of personal development, you know, books, even some seminars, mentors and coaches. For me, what's made the most difference is being part of a peer group or a coaching program or a mastermind and investing in myself, not only for my real estate business, but for myself personally, and just really understanding how life works. And some of the things that have worked really well for me is that I'm really clear that I hold all my power for myself when I'm in the moment, right? You cannot change the past and you cannot control the future. And so many people get caught up in the past or let the past define them, and they get stuck in the past or dwelling on the past. And then, you know, the future is scary or not, you know, there's uncertainty in the future. So it keeps people paralyzed. But the real power is just being in the moment and taking action every day. And with that, you need goals. Your goals is your roadmap. It's your guide. It's like declaring what you want and who you want to be and what you want to be and the life you want to live. I call it one big life. And it's like a game we play, right? And you're playing the game of life. And then inside the game of life is could be business. You know, I want to own a business. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to manage my own time. And so you get the opportunity literally to declare anything you want for yourself in life. You are the master of your destiny. So by declaring it in through language, by saying it out loud, by writing it down, by having a roadmap, anything is possible. And I really live a life from anything is possible every day. I live a life of I'm in the moment at all times. If I'm frustrated or nervous or worried about the future, I pull myself back into the moment. If I find myself dwelling on the past, you know, for example, in 2008 during the crash, I lost millions of dollars in real estate and had to reinvent myself. And I find myself going back to that time many, many times to really say, I should have done this and I should have done that. But that does me no good today. So I pull myself back into the moment. I'm just really clear about where my mindset is and what I'm thinking about and managing my thoughts. So before we jump into any goal stuff, I just want to share with you and your, you know, anybody out there that's listening to this, that the most powerful thing you can do is just be in the moment and then take the next action. If you just do those two things and don't let your mind run away with any other thoughts or any other situations that hold you back or paralyze you or keep you from taking action, you will achieve success by just letting your efforts start to compound as long as you're doing something every day and you're following some sort of a roadmap or a goals list and you're plugged in with other mentors. Your environment is so important. I'm sure you know to be around other successful people and to be around, maybe have a mentor or a coach. You know, I think investing in yourself is just the most important thing. We go to the gym to work on our bodies, but how often do we work on our minds? How often do we read a book or listen to a podcast? So that's something I just really wanted to share.
That's awesome. That's great. I've got people that are, you know, they're driving around and they're hustling and they're wondering, hey, where do I find these mastermind groups? Where do I find these peers that I want to be like? Where do I find these mentors and these life coaches?
Yeah. You know, good question. I think you start with, there's a couple of good places. Obviously, you have the internet. You know, listening to podcasts like this and just searching out the information. There's so much information on the internet. And you find somebody you like and you find somebody you resonate with, right? And then you figure out how you can connect with them. The other thing is you ask for referrals. You know, you find successful people in your family, in businesses around you. Anybody that inspires you, you want to know what they're doing, how they got there, and who their mentors are, or if they do any type of mentoring or coaching, and plug in with them, right? So it's, you know, you just have to seek and you shall find, right? But for me, it's in the real estate realm, you know, just being around other successful real estate people. And then, of course, with the internet the way it is, once you tap into a certain industry or you want to learn about something, you're going to get, you know, a lot of information sent to you once you're in that network.
Yeah. And I'm 100% on board with this concept, right? I always say, I stole it from somebody along the line, but I always say, hey, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And sometimes that means letting go of some friends, and not that you don't love them or care about them, but if I have a friend of over 40 years who I love dearly, and he was a big inspiration in my life, and I give him a lot of credit for who I am today, but he became a negative person, especially with the polarizing politics of late. We haven't talked for the last 12 months, and actually it's been somewhat of a blessing to not have to deal with that negative energy. Not that I don't care about him or love him or want to be around him, and you know, and sometimes, unfortunately, your family members could be, you know, sometimes the most negative people, and it's only because they want to protect you. And sometimes, but you got to be really careful who you listen to and who you take advice from. And one thing I can tell you for sure is never take financial advice from somebody that doesn't have what you have or what you want or have as much, you know, going on as you do, right? Don't take advice from broke people.
Yeah, exactly. I love that point. And I've never really heard it articulated like that it's equally important to cut out the bad of your life. And I don't think my listeners think about it like that. I don't think about it like that. For me, it's always like, okay, who do I hang out with so that I can become like them? It's not who do I need to cut out, right? It's like, who do I need to add?
Yeah.
I get a lot of feedback from people and they're like, hey, I'm getting this negativity and it's coming from... And so I think you have two options. One, which is probably maybe the tougher option, it doesn't penetrate, right? They can talk or whatever, but it doesn't actually, don't internalize it. Or you just cut them out, right? You don't allow them to take that emotional energy that you need to grow, that you need to get to the next level. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and here's another important point about that. This is extremely important. When you're young, you grow up for the most part thinking that your parents have all the answers, and they're really your number one go-to for information, for acknowledgement, for education, for answers. And a lot of times it isn't until your late 20s, early 30s before you start to realize, you know, my parents don't really have all the answers. And I love them. And I always use my own parents, for example. My dad was a big risk taker. You know, he was a truck driver, never thought about the future, always lived in the moment and took action and had fun. And that was great on one point as far as like going for it, but it wasn't good as far as planning, long-term planning. Now, my mom was the planner, great with credit, great with bookkeeping, great with money, but she would never take any risks. So I took from my dad, take the risk, but I took from my mom, plan and manage your money and manage your credit because it's going to be important in the future and do what you say you're going to do and have integrity. And, you know, my dad was more like, you know, worry about it later, pay that guy back. If I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. And so I took the best of both of them. But I realized when it comes to, for example, finances and money, I made more than both my mom and dad combined when I was 22 years old when I started my own business. So from that point forward, I would listen to them, but I would never take much financial advice from them because, you know, to this day, my mom just would never take any kind of risk. She owns one house that she's lived in for 45 years. She's never bought rental properties or done real estate. So why would I take financial advice from my mom? I love my mom and I take a lot of advice from my parents, but you want to seek other people that have what you want, not just your parents.
I love this concept of kind of cherry picking the attributes or characteristics that we want from our mentors. It's not one of those scenarios where it's like, okay, this is my mentor. I'm going to be like exactly like him in every possible way. One of my greatest mentors, very wealthy, had a great professional career, entrepreneur, spiritually somebody that I really tried to emulate, very kind to others, very giving, but physically he wasn't in the best of shape, right? And that's something that's very important to me. And so as we find these mentors, I don't think it's a one size fits all, this guy or this gal was created for me. It's like, hey, you know what? This guy is awesome at financial management.
Absolutely.
And I want to be like him and I want to learn from him. And I think we slip into those habits. I know I have business partners that I take the good with the bad sometimes, and we have to kind of segment that a little bit.
Yeah. No, super, super good point. I say, you know, I have a saying, and it really works well with business and just life in general, but listen to everybody and believe nobody, right? Listen to everyone, believe no one, and then form your own opinion. And a great example of what you just said is you have somebody you look up to that you want to learn from. Maybe it's somebody you're even, you know, paying, or it could be a family member, friend, or a business owner. And there's going to be things that you really admire about them. Take those on and learn from them and ask questions about them. And there's going to be things that you don't like. Maybe the way they react to other people or treat their employees, or like you said, their physical well-being might not be in something that you want, but don't count them out. You know, listen to everyone, be less judgmental. There's something to learn from everyone, but especially people that you see are successful that you would like to have their lifestyle or have what they have, or maybe you admire their family. You know, they have a traditional job and they do well, but they just have an amazing family and they have some amazing family traditions or things like that. So I'm always looking for what works for other people and trying to incorporate it into my life. And leaving the rest to the side. You don't have to do it all. You don't have to copy everything they do, for sure.
Gotcha. I thought it was really interesting when you were talking about investing in ourselves. And I'm actually a pretty large risk taker, at least financially. And not a lot of risk on the financial side scares me too much if I believe in something. But it's weird when it comes to, you know, there's this seminar and it's $3,000. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I have a hard time investing in myself for some reason. There's a hesitation.
Yeah, it's so interesting. A lot of people do. They get really resistant to that. And, you know, for example, when it comes to just about any subject, you can say, well, go to YouTube. You can almost learn anything for free on YouTube, but it's not the same as being in a room with people that are really doing it, or having somebody that's done it and you have their one-on-one time and you can really ask them any kind of question. It's a whole different type of value. And not only that, ideally you're going to give more time and attention to something you pay for versus something that's free, right? So you hold yourself a little bit more accountable because you have an investment. And here's another way to think about it. And what helped me was I stopped looking at it as a cost and started looking at it as an investment. And not only that, it's a write-off for your business. But I mean, I've been going to seminars and masterminds for years and years and years, more so back in my 20s and 30s. I'm 47 now. But at one time, I was going to two or three big type of seminars per year. And it even got to the point where I think I paid for one in Hawaii that was like $10,000 and I didn't even go. I didn't even make it. You know, but at the time I was doing so well that it didn't make that much of a difference. I can tell you right now, well, I've got a little quick story about that. So I went to a free seminar, and this is back in the 90s. It was a 3-hour thing at night. And this is how they work, and they still work this way. And there's no reason to, if it resonates with you, do it. If it doesn't, don't. But I went to this 3-hour nightly little pitch on real estate. And he said, come to our Saturday training. And the Saturday training was all day and it was like $500. So I went to the Saturday training. And at the Saturday training, we got tremendous value. I was really excited. And of course, they had something else for sale. And it was these boot camps, they call them, around the US for real estate. And you had to go to different cities. And I think there were 6 of them. And it was like $6,000. And I didn't have $6,000. So I partnered with somebody in the audience and I paid 3 and they paid 3. And we went to all these boot camps together in multiple states and spent this money. But you know, I implemented what I learned. And within a few years, I was making 6 figures in real estate investing and eventually went on to become a real estate, you know, millionaire and buy millions of dollars worth of property. So in my opinion, and they say in the industry and in different industries, buy your way in, you know, get a seat at the table. You know, you've got to buy your way into some of these masterminds. But when you're in there, you're going to be around some of the most successful people there are. And what people don't realize is the most successful people have multiple coaches, and they pay some people pay an annual, you know, coaching or mastermind $50,000, $100,000. I mean, I think Tony Robbins charges some people $1 million a year. You might not fathom ever paying that, but if you could afford to, like it was just part of your business growth and expense, just imagine what could be available to you, because they have to deliver value, otherwise they wouldn't be successful. And the ones that aren't don't last very long in business. So I say invest in yourself.
I think it's cool associating with other people that are at the level that you want to get to or that you kind of aspire for. And I think one of the benefits is you're able to see what's possible. I grew up in a small farming community, about 1,200 people, and people never really left.
Yeah.
They ended up on a farm, which is perfectly fine. I have a lot of friends that are doing that, very successful. But my world was little back then. And when I got to be around other people and I saw how successful people were and all these things they were doing and all these businesses they were starting. And one of the best things for me was that I just saw that it was possible and I had never conceived of that before. And so that was one of the benefits of me having these mentors and rubbing shoulders with people that were, you know, a level or two above me.
Absolutely. Yep. Same thing here. I came from a small town in Montana. It was a mining town. It was a drinking town. Some of my friends are still, I think they're still sitting on the same bar stool, and you hear stories like that. Some are very successful and great people, but others never really lived up to their full potential because they just never ventured out to see what else was out there. And I came to Phoenix in 1992 and I just was excited to learn. And I only knew 2 things when I graduated. 1, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to a 4-year college, but I wanted to do something. And 2, I wanted to get out of my small town. So 2 weeks after I graduated, I had $800 in my pocket and a truck full of clothes and a few things. And I headed south and never went back.
So let's shift gears just a little bit, Brian. And let's talk about goals.
Yes.
Right? We're really close to the new year. I know that's kind of the proverbial time to start setting New Year's resolutions that, you know, a lot of them are forgotten by mid to end of January. But let's start with this. What are some benefits that you've seen in your life by setting goals and getting to a point where you can kind of visualize the end result of achieving those goals?
Yeah, great question. So I read a book by Brian Tracy called Goals. I think it's Goals Explanation Point. It's a red cover, many, many years ago, and just really got clear or started to learn that successful people have goals, right? Successful people are interested in moving forward and creating success in the big areas of their life, you know, in health, their physical health, spiritual, relationships, financial, business, and then, you know, things like giving back to the community, which is the most important part. And so I started writing my goals down many, many years ago. In fact, one of the exercises that I did that I would have anybody do is just go through and write 101 goals, literally anything and everything you can think of, from small to big to outrageous, and write those down. And there's something very powerful about writing down a goal. But when you do, you're able to basically program the mind a little bit and let your subconscious go to work on that. And what I was told and learned and I've had happen in my own life is I wrote things down that I never thought would happen. And then as I go back and look at those over the years and add to them, there's so many things that have come to fruition kind of automatically, not like I worked on that specific goal, but I just wrote it down, kind of forgot about it, but put it into my subconscious mind and programmed myself a little bit. And then those things manifested in my life. So it wasn't even that intentional, but just the fact that I wrote it down made a huge difference. And I know that sounds simple and everybody's heard it a million times, but how many people are actually really writing down their goals annually or whatever and following up on them? So that's kind of a, for some people, that'll be a no-brainer. And other people, this might be the time, December 2020, that you say, you know what, I've heard this for years and I've thought it was didn't work or strange or who actually really does that. But the truth is, successful people, that's what they do. And if you want to be successful, now's the time to try that.
It's such an interesting time right now. You know, there's been a lot of heartache, a lot of unfortunate things happen this year. But I think it gives us, there's some good things that are happening too. And I say that with caution. I've been attacked for saying that a little bit. I think one of those good things is that I think people are listening a little more. I don't know if humble is the right word, but I know that I want some changes, that I want to do better. And positive affirmations is one of those things that people almost compare to like voodoo or something, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
It mystifies them. It's not something that they believe in. But for you listeners out there that have you guys have heard about it before, right? Just making these things manifest in your life. Have you tried it? It's really tough to talk negatively about something that you have no experience with. Or I think a lot of people think they're too cool for it or something, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love how you kind of drew this connection, right? And I don't know that I've ever made that before, between setting goals and what that does in terms of creating this positive affirmation where it goes into your subconscious and you just, and I think it goes back to the law of attraction a little bit, right? Where you,
absolutely,
where you start to realize these things in your life simply because you're writing them down, you're saying them out loud, whatever the case is.
For sure. Well, there's no doubt about it. There's been many studies on this, and there's some of the best athletes in the world. They visualize the winning shot thousands of times before they ever make that shot, right? You've heard that from people like Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. You know, they visualize it thousands and thousands of times, but I guarantee you they've also written it down and they're practicing and they're breaking it down. So visualization is very important. And then there's also declarations, you know, not only writing it down, but just reading it out loud. And you know, if you really want to get granular and really dig into your goals, write them down and then review them every day and read them out loud even once a day before you go to bed or when you get up in the morning. I don't necessarily do that. I've done it before. I probably should do it more. And now that I talk about it, it inspires me to even want to do it more. But just saying it and writing it down is really, in fact, if you just write down your goal and read it out loud, you're going to jump from 0 to 90% of people, because I'm guarantee you 90% of people are not doing this. And the reason most people don't get what they want in life, I'm going to tell you the secret to this right now. The reason people do not get what they want in life is because they do not know what they want. And you don't know until you take the time to sit down and think about it, to really write it down and really tell the world, tell the universe, tell yourself what you want. So clarity, another thing you can really, if you're taking notes, you could write down, clarity leads to power. So in other words, the world, life, your environment, your friends, people you know, they don't know really what you want if you keep it all bottled up inside as a bunch of ideas. But if you start to share it and express it and write it down and talk about it, the world seems to bend to your will, so to speak, and literally, and there's science behind this, your words start to create the results you're looking for, and things start to show up that you didn't expect in ways you didn't did not expect them. And the reason why is because you've made it real and you've taken it from your mind through your mouth, put it out into the world, put it down on paper, and now things start to show up. And you'll be surprised how fast things move towards your goals when you do those exercises.
Yeah, I think when you start to do that, and I think there's different levels of commitment, but I think when you even take that small step of just writing it down in your subconscious, you're committed, right? On some level. And I think there's different levels of commitment all the way up to, you know, I'm going to have a coach or a spouse or a partner or a child or somebody that I see every day. I'm going to tell them what my goal is. And then I'm going to ask them to ask me how I did that day on that goal, right? There's these different levels of commitment. But when somebody writes down that goal, they're saying, hey, this is something that I want and I'm serious about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I have a little acronym that I use and kind of a couple steps. If you don't mind, I'll share those
Absolutely.
With you so your audience can, you know, maybe use some practical steps. I call it WBT. WBT. So write it down, break it down, and take it down. So write it down. We've talked about, you know, get clear about your goals, write it down, maybe start a vision board, or you can call it a dream list, then visualize it and read it daily. Another hack for goals, of course, is you want to have a deadline. Create a deadline for when you want these, you know, you should have a 10-year goal, a 3-year goal, and then a 1-year goal. And then break it down is part of it is the time frame. But break it down, those goals, each of those individual goals, start breaking them down to what your weekly activity will be, of course, and then your daily activity. Now, there's a great book out there by the founder of Keller Williams. I can't remember his first name, and it's called The One Thing. Have you heard of that book?
I haven't.
Okay. This is a very popular book amongst people that are entrepreneurs and up to big things. And it's called The One Thing by Gary Keller, who started Keller Williams. And it's more of the takeaway, kind of like with the relationship thing. It's not adding, but taking away. Instead of trying to, because it's very easy to get overwhelmed with goals and, you know, what you're going to do. But you can take your goals and break them down to that one thing that you're going to do either on a daily or weekly basis. So in other words, I have my to-do list of things for my goals and I need to get all this stuff done. You know, and I need a website and I need an email list and I need all this stuff. But that one thing that day might just be, I'm going to contact GoDaddy and buy my domain name. And that's it. That's the one thing I'm going to do today, no matter what. And if you keep doing the one thing every day, pretty soon those one things add up and, you know, you have momentum and now you have success and you can start checking off those goals. It's so easy to go overwhelmed if you don't really like break it down. So that would be step number two. One is write it down. Step two is break it down. And number three is take it down. Now, take it down kind of goes back to what you were saying, Alan, which is it's one thing to think about it and talk about it and even write it down. But without action, nothing exists in the world. And one of the things that I learned and that I teach people is it's called the world of performance. And what I mean by that is, if you drew a circle and you call it the world of performance, there's only two things in there that matter, and really only one. But when it comes to what we all want, which is results, nothing else matters but the results, right? What results are we producing in our life? And we can look at our bank account right now. Anybody listening to this can think about their bank account and whatever number or whatever amount of money you have in your accounts right now or have access to, that is the financial result that correlates back to all the things you know about making money or having money or managing money. And so you can really quickly see your results. If you want to see your results, you know, from a health standpoint, go step on a scale, look in a mirror. That's your results based on what you know so far. So if you're not happy with those results, you can change them, but it always comes down to one thing. And fitness is a perfect example. Saving or investing is a perfect example, but it comes down to, in the world of performance, either action or inaction. And the reason I explain it that way is because it strips out the drama. Nobody is interested in your excuses or your reasons or your complaints or why the world doesn't work for you. People are only interested in, and life in general is only interested in, your results. They really don't care. And it sounds harsh, but life in the world doesn't necessarily really care about what you're dealing with. It really is looking for your results. So if you want to produce results, you have to take action. So take it down means take action and take small actions every single day, but always take action, stay in the moment, take action. And then the last thing I'll say about that, or kind of a hack about that, is One, have an accountability partner. You mentioned it. Have an accountability partner, maybe set goals together and then share them with each other or a spouse or a family member. And then another little cool hack is if you want to sit down and say, I'm going to go through my email list and clean it up, or I'm going to, you know, look at some websites, or I'm going to look at online businesses or whatever you're going to do, set yourself a timer and say, it feels overwhelming, but I got to clean up my email. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set my timer on my desk for 30 minutes or an hour, and I'm just going to go 100% focused on this one task for 1 hour and see how much I can get done. And by setting a timer and holding yourself accountable like that, you would be amazed at what you can accomplish in a shorter period of time. Because even though you have these time goals, basically you can supercharge those by timing yourself and by putting yourself, you know, putting some pressure on yourself, good pressure. And then when you're done, you can feel good about getting a lot more done than you did. Cause there's nothing feels better than like accomplishing something, getting some goals done. You know, it could even be cleaning up your office or making a spot on your kitchen table to start your business and get your laptop and your pen and your paper. Now, don't spend too much time getting ready, you know, get ready to get ready, but take some sort of form of action. So I hope that kind of helps a little bit. Write it down, break it down, and take it down. Take action and produce some results, because results is all it's really about.
Yeah, that's excellent. Each of those has elements that are essential to us kind of getting to the next level. I love the break it down aspect, and I'm very clear and I understand what small wins do for people. I recently read a book, and I think I shared this aspect of this book a couple of weeks ago on an episode, but in this book, it was talking about habits, and it's talking about somebody that if they want to go to the gym, in the past they've had a hard time, then they have to go every single day to the gym for 5 minutes, but they can only go for 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
And then after a while, they're like, wait, you know, I spend a few minutes getting dressed. I spend 30 minutes to and from the gym, and I'm only going to be here for 5 minutes. Well, I'm going to at least do 10. Okay, you can do 10, but you have to do 10 for the entire week before you increase it, right? And then after a while, it becomes a habit. They start small. They break it down, right? They make their goal a little more manageable, as opposed to just looking at this entire goal of, hey, I want to go to the gym 250 times this year.
Absolutely. No, that reminds me of a great story. So I don't know, I'm sure you've heard of the book Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Uh-huh.
So there's the author of that book is Jack Canfield, and he's wildly successful in writing and authoring books. And I think he's, I don't know, 500 million sales in book sales. But he tells a story how he was on the phone one time, and he was talking to one of his mentors, and they were talking about this subject and goals and getting started and all that. And he says, yeah, I'd like to get in better shape, and I need to start doing more push-ups and sit-ups. And his mentor just said, great, start now. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to start. I'm going to, you know, get a plan going. I'm going to join a gym. No, he goes, no, I mean, start right now. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to. I'm making a plan. And he goes, no, I mean, right now, set down the phone and I want you to get on the floor in your office and do 10 push-ups and then get back on the phone. And Jack was like, he's right. You know, you can start as small as you want. Like any of us can do 10 push-ups or 10 jumping jacks, or, you know, we can read one page in a book. You know, sometimes I tell people read one page a night, 5 pages a night, because you'll go from 1 to 5. I can read 20 pages. And pretty soon you finish this book and you're like, wow. Because for some reason we think, oh, right, I'll read the book when I get time. I'll work out when I get time. Start super, super small and it'll grow. I mean, that's a perfect example. I'm glad you shared that. Everybody should take it down to that one thing, that small thing, and get started, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting how like a lot of this is basically us just trying to trick ourselves.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Like we're just trying to overcome this like carnal, natural state that we find ourselves in and find these kind of higher laws, right? There's laws that govern money. There's laws that govern physics. There's laws that govern nutrition and relationships. And so we're basically just trying to kind of psych ourselves out to a level where we allow those natural laws to affect our lives a little more.
Yeah, totally, totally. So human beings, we're interesting species, right? As a human being, there's a couple things we're really not interested in. We're not interested in being in pain. We're not interested in being uncomfortable. We're definitely not interested in being held accountable, and we want to be right about everything. You have to develop, successful people develop this awareness about themselves and what stops them, what works and what doesn't work, what triggers them. And, you know, if you're working on yourself and you start to realize that you have this internal dialogue going on with your little voice all the time, and if you've never heard this before and you're saying, what is he talking about, his little voice? That's what I'm talking about. The voice that just said, what is he talking about, his little voice? That's your little voice, right? And we all have it. Sometimes you just have to, you know, literally have that conversation with your little voice, or ignore your little voice, or acknowledge the fact that when you say you're going to work out and do something and then you don't, and your little voice has reasons and excuses, you almost have to say, thanks for sharing, and we're not doing that today. We're not sitting on the couch. We're going to go for a 5-minute walk or whatever. As much as you don't want to, you have to have that awareness that when your little voice comes up or that reason comes up, that could be so easy, because left to our own devices, humans would, you know, we do what's comfortable, right? I mean, that's what we want to do, to be comfortable. But nothing good comes from being comfortable. Everything, the saying is, everything you want is outside your comfort zone. So the minute you're uncomfortable, that's where all the growth is. That's where all the breakthrough is. And then pretty soon, what was uncomfortable last time is now no big deal. And then the next, so you have another level and another level. And it never ends and it never stops. There's no end in sight to that. But then you look back over 3, 4, 5, 10 years, and I call it giving your efforts time to compound. And one day you look up and you have 10 rental properties, or you look up and you have a successful small business, or you look up and you have a great family, or you look up and you're in great physical health, because you've just been chipping away little by little by little by little. But in our mind, it seems so big, and it doesn't have to be that way.
You know, what's interesting is that to get better, it requires this proactive behavior, right? In most areas of life. But to get worse doesn't require anything.
Right.
You know, isn't that funny that,
yeah,
you know, I can gain weight and decrease the level of healthy that I am by sitting on the couch. I can't increase it by doing that.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and at least it's kind of a cliche, but at least one of my favorite movies of all time is The Shawshank Redemption, right? Have you ever seen that movie?
Uh-huh, I have.
Yeah.
Classic.
Classic, right? And they're sitting there. The two guys are sitting, I can't remember their names, Dufresne and Morgan Freeman. And, you know, he says to him, you have two choices in life, get busy living or get busy dying. And literally every single moment of your life, not only is anything possible, and the past is in the past, and if you leave it in the past where it belongs, anything is possible. And that's what that means is, if you have a brand new slate in front of you, which you absolutely do, if you think of it as anything is possible, and I am not my past, and I can create or have or do anything I want, then every moment, every day is a brand new day to create anything, but it comes down to you taking that action. So in the same thing as with business, with physical, with anything, you have the choice and the power to really control it all, right? And to take the action. And as long as you're putting one foot in front of the other, and people, it sounds so simple and it sounds like so cliche. And almost, if I was listening to this, I might even say, like, no kidding, tell me something I don't know. But people don't do it. So it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing. It's a whole nother world to actually do it. And so if you're not doing it, maybe you understand it. But knowing, there's a saying that says, knowing makes no difference, right? We know how to lose weight, eat less and work out more. But are you at your ideal weight? Are you at your ideal shape? Knowing makes no difference. It's the action you take, you know, and what's it going to take to have a breakthrough, a transformation in thought and feeling and action, you know, to produce that result, to get the result you want.
So you sound like a just kind of a naturally self-motivated, self-starter type. What recommendations, what suggestions do you have for people that it takes them a little longer to get going? Is there anything you can point them to, any habits that you have that you've found work for you when you really don't want to do something that you know you really need to do?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of good books I always like to recommend to people, because I think you have to work on your mindset and you have to educate yourself a little bit. And for me, it's always been when I'm doing a personal development program or I'm around other people that help hold me accountable or in a group, or if I read a book on business or motivation or success, I learn something from that and I try to implement that in my life, some of the things I've talked about today. But mostly it's, what action can I do next? What can I accomplish today, that one thing? Those are some examples. And then if I'm feeling down or bad, or if I'm in the social media, the way things are, you know, nowadays, everybody compares themselves to what they see on TV and what they see on Facebook. And it's so easy to, especially for young people, to compare themselves because it looks like everybody else is doing so good, especially on the social media stuff. And so I just ground myself, you know, and really ask myself in the moment, how bad are things or how good are things, right? Really, things are a lot better than the news tells us. Really, we live in the most amazing time in our lifetimes. It keeps getting better. Like you said, you know, I think it does. If we turn off the news and we don't watch TV and we don't get sucked into the drama, you know, one thing for me that I'm really big on is I'm all about communication and integrity and really honoring my agreements. And then when I don't honor my agreements, owning them and being responsible for them. So just in the day-to-day actions, it's just being real, being vulnerable, being in action, not getting caught up in the drama and really being aware of how I react to things so that I'm not wasting my time and trying to be right or fighting with somebody or beating myself up because I didn't get something done, you know? So for me, it's just really taking that moment to reflect on, in the moment, everything's great, and what can I do next? And when I ground myself like that, the answers seem to just open up and I move forward.
I love this concept of that you brought up, having integrity. And I think, you know, one of our greatest motivations, if not the greatest motivation that we have, is we want to do the type of things and live the type of life that is consistent, that are consistent with the type of people that we believe we are. If that wasn't complicated enough to explain,
right?
Like, we do the things that we believe that, you know, we're the type of people that do those things.
Yeah, right.
So if I believe that I'm somebody that takes care of my health, then I make sure that I'm honest with myself and that I'm doing the things that healthy people do.
Mm-hmm.
One motivation that I've found that has helped me a lot is with each goal that I have, I write down who I'm doing that goal for, right? Mm-hmm. So with some of my financial goals, my motivation is my two boys, right? I want them to see what's possible so that they can live a life where they control their time. With each of my goals, I try to make it about somebody besides myself because a lot of the best pressures come from outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, being a parent, right, is there's no instruction manual, so it can be a tough gig sometimes, but once you have kids, really, you're living your life for them. I mean, you're living your life not for them, like everything is about them. I guess what I'm trying to say is you live your best life to be an example for them. And you're building some sort of legacy or something that they can be proud of, something they can look up to. And just it becomes less about you and more about your family and really giving back and other people and making a difference. You know, one of the things that people don't realize about money, and I've experienced this in my life, I would say almost everybody in general would like to be wealthy and financially free. And of course, we've all probably had a dream of, oh, I'd love to be a millionaire. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, one, not only does it take a lot of work, but what people don't realize is that some people will have to work their entire life just to get by or to pay the bills. And you'll have a little success here and there. And some people will start a business and do great. And some people will do really, really good. But what people don't realize about money and financial success is that it's not really about the money. You think it's about the money. So in my 20s and 30s, you know, it was about boats and jet skis and quads and sand rails and cool cars. And I had all that. And I had two vacation homes in Montana and a condo on the beach in Mexico. And I built a cabin up in Heber Overgaard. And I had all this stuff, right? Well, stuff takes maintenance. But one of the things I realized when I lost it all and had to start over and rebuild was that it wasn't about the money. It was about who I become. You know, who do you have to become to be somebody that can play the game at that level and still have your integrity and still treat people decent and really honor your commitments? You know, so when I lost money and I had to give back, you know, 22 homes went to foreclosure in my own personal name. Yeah, the banks didn't get paid. They got the properties back, but I had some private money that I owed people. And I went to them and said, look, I'm going to pay you no matter what. Even if I were to file bankruptcy, I'm still going to pay you. Now, I didn't file bankruptcy, and maybe looking back, I should have, but I continued to pay those people for years and years and years because I said I would. And the bottom line, what I'm trying to get to is that it's not always about the stuff, but it's about the relationship. It's about honoring your word. But more than that, it's also about giving back, you know, and building. I can stand tall with my family and my friends and my kids, and they can see that I stuck to my word and I stuck to my commitments. And now I love to give back and help people. And I can tell you this, that if money is completely taken care of and you have more than you need and it's coming in and it's passive or whatever, if you woke up every morning and did not have to worry about money, the very next thing you would do is exactly what me and you are doing right now, is how can I make a difference? How can I help people? How can I share my experiences? How can I inspire others to have some of the things I've had in life, some of the successes? And so I think it's just important to say that out loud and share it with people, because a lot of young people and a lot of people in general get stuck chasing the money, and it's not always about the money.
Yeah, I love that point. And I share that sentiment. You know, we go through these phases as we mature, and we try to figure out what is this all about anyway? What the hell are we doing here, you know? And I think one key is, if you're trying to figure out what you're doing and what you're trying to obtain, I think the real question is what I'm trying to obtain, is it replaceable?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is no, then you're on the right path.
Right.
If the answer is yes, then you're not, right?
Yeah,
we can replace money. I've made money before. I can do it again.
Right.
Right. But these relationships that I have with these partners, I don't pay them back. That's gone.
Yeah.
That's not replaceable.
Right.
Same with your family. Same with your faith. And I think once people, I know that that's been the case in my life. Once I start putting those big priorities first, the other stuff comes.
Yeah.
It just naturally comes.
Yeah, which comes back to, you know, if you want to make a real long-lasting, lifelong goal, you know, make a goal to be a good human being, right? Make a goal to work on yourself. If you're somebody who has anger issues, or you're constantly in drama, or life's not working for you, or you're constantly having your sad story, I always say everybody has a sad story, and it's okay to tell it once in a while. Just don't, you know, you don't have to share it every day with everybody everywhere, right? So work on yourself, work on your self-awareness, work on how you, you know, if there's anything. One of the most important things I've taught my kids is that life's not fair. And I used to say it all the time growing up, especially if you have young kids, start doing this now. When they're throwing their tantrum, or when they're young and they don't get what they want, or they're frustrated or mad, and they say, that's not fair, that's not fair. It's such a great opportunity. I've done it so many times. And I say, guess what? Life's not fair. It never has been. It never will be. You know, one of the secrets to success, and one of the things people don't realize about successful people, is they have the same breakdowns, the same problems, insecurities, issues that they deal with. They just don't let those things stop them. And it's not that the only real difference is, and this is the thing to learn, this to, the takeaway is, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. Now, we've heard that 1,000 times, but I guarantee you, if you're struggling in life, it's because you're not applying that rule. And you're very reactive, giving your power away and being a victim. So victims have no power. And anytime you're reactive or emotional or frustrated, or it's nothing wrong with getting mad or upset or having a bad day, but don't get stuck there for a week or a month. And don't, you know, be careful what you say when you're in those moments, because you can ruin a relationship in a minute. So if you want to set a goal to work on yourself, to be a better human, to do some personal development, some mindset training, to read a book, go to a seminar, get a coach, and figure out how to be, you know, an amazing human being. Because when all the stuff's gone, when the business climate changes, when the stock market crashes, when politics goes the wrong way that you don't want it to, or you're affected negatively, you know, because of an industry shuts down, it's not going to be because of, people are going to remember for you for how you reacted to that, not whether you saved the business or not, or whether you're successful or not. If you are, great, that's all a bonus. You want to work hard on those things and keep them and achieve them. But I just really want to implore people to be better humans, you know, so that when my granddaughter grows up, she meets your grandson, and you've developed great humans, and I've developed great humans, and they can have a great life.
I love it. The older I get, the faster time goes, but that hour just flew by, I feel like.
Yeah,
it did. I mean, there's been points during this conversation where I legitimately feel like I'm talking to myself, right? So this was great. You actually created a very difficult task for me, because I have to choose a soundbite, right, to play at the very beginning of the episode to draw, you know, my listeners in, right, to hook them in.
Hook them in, yeah.
I mean, this entire thing is a soundbite. So anyway, well, Brian, I mean, pleasure is an understatement. I love chatting with you. I'd actually love to have you back. And specifically, I'd like to have you back to chat about this rebound that you had during the Great Recession. And, you know, I'd love to chat about that and some specifics. And I bet you've learned life lessons from that specific experience that could benefit everybody. So
absolutely. No, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me. I'd love to come back and share more about my story and the ups and downs and the crash of 2008. It was pretty significant for me. I had to completely rebuild my business and everything in it. But it all started with, you know, really taking a hard look at who I am and what's possible, working on my mindset. So, you know, I love inspiring people and helping people. And at the end of the day, that's what I want to do the most.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for enlightening us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a rating. And for daily inspiration and business tips, follow Alan on Instagram. Until next time, remember, we build the future one entrepreneur at a time.